Shake that thing, miss. Can I shake that thing, miss? And I better shake that thing, yeah. Donna, Donna, Jordy and Rebecca.
Oh, this is a good breakfast song.
It is a good breakfast song. Not that I know if many people are listening to it right now. Good morning, everybody. Toby and Leroy here with you. Robbie's here. We're starting a little late today. We had some technical issues on a lot of ends. First of all, we had a critical thing we had to find, Leroy.
Critical.
What's that?
We lost our boxed in. It got replaced somehow by a Jim Irsay cut. We don't know how, so we had to go. When you saw me over on the other side, normally you think I'm just doing shenanigans.
Yes.
And you're yelling at me.
Yes.
And so I was actually doing important work. I had to go find our boxed in sound effect because Robbie was like, I don't know what happened, but we had to get it fixed because I don't know how this show goes on without the boxed in sound effect.
Well,
I mean, it's the essence of the show.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, we can't have any boxed in go to waste.
Yeah. Like, what are we gonna do? Just say it? I mean, after
do the square, which nobody could see.
Yeah, after yeah. After all this time, we've gotten used to Mike Biamonte telling us whether or not we've been boxed in. If we get a point, minus
that's,
one.
That's
you've been boxed in.
I'm so relieved. Now, on the other end is I don't know how many people are hearing us right now. So you know, there's that.
Use the stream. Well, if you're hearing us, you're only hearing us on the stream.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. That's one of those things. Like, I'll put stuff out on Instagram and Twitter saying, hey, it's another one of them days, everybody. Stream us, I guess. I don't know. We've become a digital company. We don't. Radio, you know, they always said radio was getting outdated and that it was going to die. I just was hoping it wasn't going to be the week or the 2 weeks that we got the morning drive gig.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that, you know, once we got this new gig, people would actually get to listen to us. You know, like I hear a bunch of you crybabies on Instagram. And I just like, look at these poor saps and suckers whining on social media about what's on their radio.
Yep.
You think I care? I'm like, listen, you can sit here and you can bellyache all you want. And it's not the same. It's not supposed to be the same. Dum-dums. All right? You don't get to have what you want for 7 years. We're shaking things up. That's how it's supposed to be. But, I will say to all those people who are on the internet, that's probably the best way to listen to us right now. Because I would like to say to all those people who, you know, are complaining about the show and whatnot, I'd at least like them to be able to hate listen to us or something like that, or annoy listen to us. Or something like that.
You should since we're not on the AM signal, we're only in the stream, you should give Masvidal a call. He can come on, you know, and can't get in trouble.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. I'll just. There's no rules on the internet, Robbie.
It's
like
true.
The it's Wild West. You just never know when it's going to get turned on. That's the
true.
The under to it.
There you go.
But my favorite thing is, and you know, like our engineers, they're working really hard. For God's sakes, we had a damn flood over in the other studio. Like Joe Rose is doing his radio show basically from the internet. Connecting over to their radio.
Right. It's crazy. They're doing a remote from down the hall.
It's so crazy all the issues we had. Like I was legitimately walking around this building yesterday, Leroy, and I was asking, like, did we disturb an Indian burial ground? Because that was a long thing for the Hard Rock Stadium is I believe built on an Indian burial ground. So for the longest time people thought that the Dolphins are legitimately cursed since leaving the Orange Bowl. That they have disturbed spirits, and that is why they have had the riches of embarrassments that they have had for the longest time, you know, from, you know, going all the way back to like Ricky retiring spontaneously.
Right.
I wonder, did we disturb the peace here? Are there spirits going against us, or is this just bad planning?
I think we are in a business that is a very tedious business. It's very time-oriented, so everything has to be almost to the second. And if at any point in time in this business, if you don't take the necessary time to make sure that everything is working, you have chaos.
Yep.
And the one thing that you can't have is chaos. But more importantly, the worst thing you could have is people not caring about the chaos. So it's like...
Well, that's... Yeah, and I had issues like the last... Thursday, we had that incident where we were off the air just for 45 minutes.
Right.
And you know, one of the higher ups here was just like, I've done everything I can do. I've tried and I'm done trying. I'm like, You can't tell me that. Like, don't tell me you're done trying. I appreciate everybody here who is trying and trying to get stuff done. And if you could tell me there are issues that we can't fix, or there's hard issues, or we got to go take a fan boat with Dusty Crumb out to the Everglades to get things done, I respect it, because I know you guys are trying to get things done. But when I hear things like, I've done all I can do and we're 2 weeks into the process, it's like, no. Don't drop that on us, you know, 4 days into a new show.
The problem is that at the end of the year or at the end of the month, when they come and look at how we're doing.
Oh, ratings-wise? That's not a thing.
Are they going to say, oh, well, you know, our ratings would probably be better if we were on the air.
Yeah, I'm not even don't if
but,
you
but that's my
if
point.
You, if
that
you show if Gut Len shows me a ratings book, I'm gonna laugh in his face. I'm gonna be like, you're lucky we have any listeners. We have to deliver one product, whether they like it or not. We have to deliver a product, and it is it legitimately in the four weeks here, Robbie. It's been 3 weeks, right? I think it's
third week. Yeah,
in the 3 weeks we've been here, I would say we've been consistently on the air for 4 hours in the morning 50% of the time.
Right.
50% right. of the time.
It's almost right. like Sex Panther.
So, like, if we're working half the time, how in God's name can we trust anybody to trust us as a broadcast entity if it's a coin flip?
I don't know what, you know, they tell you what the problem is or whatever, but I would like to think that the professionals knew that was a problem.
You would think that we moved into a place where the roof worked too, and look what happened over there. I was hoping that was gonna be like a day where I was like, man, those things are still going, huh? They're cranking those hoses. Oh, they're pumping that out.
It's still raining. It poured. So it poured last
night. It's gonna be it's hurricane season until October.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll take a break here. We'll recap a lot of news. We got to hit the headlines thing, Robbie. It doesn't really matter. We're not on the radio, so who cares? But yeah, go ahead. Hit the thing.
This is WAXYAM, no one's gonna hear. South Miami.
At least we're legally covered on the screen.
WSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah. So we'll take a break, and we will give you some headlines for all of our streaming people out there. We'll try and get the word out. Stream us again, and if you can, Robbie, if it's not too much of a burden, maybe we could try and get the podcast up ASAP, like maybe hour by hour, if that helps. I don't know, but we'll try and get the word out to everybody, and if you are streaming us right now, thank you for sticking with us, and hopefully this gets resolved before the end of the show.
Always there when you call, shots. Always on time, gave you my baby.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin Leroy and Beast. Beast is actually out today. His kid is starting school, so he's out.
Everybody's kids start school.
I know, he wants to be there. His kid's first day at middle school, man. I don't know what to tell you. I can relate. I usually miss the first day of school. I always go to meet the teacher day. I like going to size up who's teaching my kid.
See
if they got the goods.
I'm only called in if there's a problem.
If there's trouble? Yeah. I haven't had to do too many of those.
They know if they call, if I have to go in, there's going to be chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Strange coincidence that Beast is not here and our signal's out. Maybe he sabotaged our signal. Can't run without him.
I got to be honest with you. I thought our chances were better that when he was out, that the signal was gonna work for sure. I thought that's the way it was going to go, because we wouldn't have to go through his cockamamie system of make a list, but now the list is on delay. I'm like, ugh, all right, pal. So, Rod, why don't you give us some headlines, man? A lot of news happening yesterday for both of our football teams. Let's get to it, and tell us where we stand with things.
Well, first off, we had, of course, Jaren Williams has been named the starting quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, Brevin Jordan, you know, he was teammates with Tate Martell in high school, and here's how what he told Tate Martell.
Telling him to keep his head up, you know, because he's a very competitive guy. He takes this game very seriously. He knows the playbook in and out, and we just got here and learned. Like, we're still, like, learning the plays, and he knows the playbook in and out. He can close his eyes. He knows everything. So, like, his competitive nature is always going to be there, but he took the news kind of hard, and now he understands his role. He understands that he can still be a vital part to this team. So, I mean, he's going to be all right, though. I'm excited for what Tate and Kosi and Jaren, for what they can do for the season.
Do you feel like the team?
And apparently the expectation is that Tate Martell is not going to transfer.
Yeah, I saw that report from Barry and Susan that it seems like Tate is going to stick around. I don't know how he... At least this year, I think he's kind of got to stick it out and
you
see.
You can't leave, man.
Yeah, you can't. You
can't leave.
After just coming here, I mean, I suppose he could leave, but you're not gonna kind of see this out. You don't know if Jaren Williams is gonna be any good, so why don't you size up your competition?
Man, this never happened back in the day. I mean, it's twofold. Like I could understand if a young man, if he feels that. You know, man, the college experience for me is to have the opportunity to play college football. And I don't want my dream to end like this. So I can understand kids that think like that. But it comes across as being a millennial. Like, yeah. I'm not getting my way. I'm just going to keep moving around until I find my way. And so... I don't pass judgment on kids either way.
Right.
Because the coaches definitely take advantage of it, because you got to believe some coaches in somebody's ear going, hey, you could come here and have an opportunity. Same thing Manny did.
Oh, you know who was doing it yesterday? Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Lane Kiffin's already out there flirting.
Right. But
he had to scramble to delete the tweet. He's like, never mind.
But question, do you blame him?
No.
Like, that's played.
One, Lane Kiffin's a Twitter troll. Like, he's a head coach, but he loves Twitter so much.
Right.
He loves messing with people. Did you see the other day when they were doing a practice and he was doing the music was themed to all the places he's been fired? So he was playing like Rocky Top. He was playing Sweet Home Alabama.
Right. I'd fight on.
Yeah, I don't know why people would want to warm up to that, but it was still right. Funny. He's a funny guy.
I mean, look. It's almost like he has a dry humor. He's not like funny, slap your leg, laugh, but you got to read into what he's saying a little more to get the humor out of it.
Yeah, I think also, this is the thing that I think what you do lose with that competition stuff is, isn't there a level of, you're kind of losing a sense of reality in a way? Like, Maybe in the right situation you would be good enough. Like, let's say he went to Tulane or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and someone would give him the opportunity. FAU, I'm sure, would give Tate Martell the opportunity to go play quarterback. But are you getting the real sense of how good you are if you have to go to choice five to get playing time?
Well, keep in mind, when you look at NFL rosters, everybody and a majority of them are from major D1 universities.
Is that true?
A lot of them aren't.
No, I know a lot of them aren't. But
FAU also has DeAndre Francois. He's at FAU now.
I wouldn't say, I won't say a majority, but a lot of kids. When you look at a roster, a lot of these guys aren't coming from the Alabamas, you know, the Clemsons.
Look, we're super excited right now about a guy from Colorado State.
Right. And so from that standpoint, kids always have, if I go and ball out, and get eyes on me, I'm going to get an opportunity. I think you would rather find out when you get to the league that you're not good enough versus finding out in your second year in college. And so I think that's why a lot of these kids chase that dream, you know, because, again, it's a dream. And can you tell me he's not good enough?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
All I have as evidence is that he's been at two programs, and two programs have said, for right now, you're not my guy.
Well, and I mean, but they've had, like, sometimes it's the most unfortunate thing about this is, okay, you want to go to that big time school, but understand the competition at that big time school is going to be unbelievable because a lot of people want to go to those schools.
Sure.
I mean, when I went to Michigan, the running back room was unbelievable.
But the difference is they brought in, like Ohio State went and got a gun. Like, they went and brought somebody else in even after his opportunity was supposed to come up.
For whatever reason, you are obligated to try to get the best talent there.
Yeah.
And if you have a kid that's in the transfer portal and you know he's a talent,
mm-hmm.
as a coach or a coaching staff, you got to go try to get that kid.
Yeah. No, so, it's not a question of blame. I get it. Like, Tate tried to do the same thing to these two guys. We'll continue on. We've got a lot of angles to get into with this. What else you got, Robbie?
Oh, well, we had one of our first JP yesterday with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And apparently the offensive line had a rough one.
Oh, boy did they.
In a four-play stretch, 3 sacks and a false start.
Leroy, it's no bueno.
It's no bueno.
No bueno.
You are talking about one of the best pass rush.
Big Whiffer had a big day.
I know. Hey, you know what it was? Revenge practice.
Oh my!
Of course, absolutely.
I thought it was going to go for Fitzy. I didn't realize Tomic and Sue actually cared about revenge.
By the way, somebody said Francois couldn't go to FAU. He ended up at Hampton.
Really?
I don't know how accurate that is.
Wow, that's a big news.
He didn't get in.
Oh, really?
Those two people now said that.
Interesting. Well, Kiffin's always going to turn over rocks to try and find somebody, though.
And that's his job.
No doubt.
That's his job. I don't feel bad. If that's the system that it is, then so be it. The problem becomes when you have a sketchy organization setting the rules, then understand how some of the ways things happen are a little on the edge of being just...
Yeah, it's very grimy.
Right.
It is grimy. Anything else, Robbie?
Oh, yeah, and the Marlins are 15-1.
We got to have a talk.
Yeah.
Ooh. We got to have a talk. I don't know. I got to see how I want to approach this delicately. Why the hell is Wei-Yin Chen still on the Marlins? Why? Why? Why?
2-0.
Leroy, he's the worst. Leroy, they brought – I don't know why Don Mattingly was feeling froggy yesterday. And he goes, oh, only a 3-run lead. They've had comebacks. We're not just fresh off a bunch of comebacks against the Braves?
Yeah, 4-run comeback in the ninth inning.
It brings him in, Leroy. 4-1 game, home run, boom. He's a meatball thrower.
6 earned runs.
Leroy, he's so bad. He's so bad. I don't understand. I don't understand. I look around, and everybody can tell me, oh, 20 million. This has not happened. In baseball before, people have been told to go away. They've been told to go away. People have eaten the contracts.
Not for 20 million.
I mean, Kung Fu Panda is right up there with he probably got like 40 million or so to go away. Carl Crawford.
Didn't Vernon Wells? Didn't make him go away?
Oh, yeah, Vernon
point?
Wells is a go away.
Like they just they've
20 million though. Like think
but
about
he's so bad.
What kind of organization are you when you get rid of your highest paid player?
A smart
I don't
one.
Care if he sucks.
He's Leroy. He doesn't suck. He's a sieve. He is a negative. You put him out on the mound. They've only put him in situations. And this is why I was so confident in the Dartboard of Doom bet we made, where I said he'd never start for the Marlins again. Ever. Even in spot start.
And double headers.
Think about all the opportunities they've had this year just to throw Wei-Yin Chen out there, just to give somebody some rest. They're like, nah, can't do it. Can't do it. He's only been put in situations where it's like 6-run deficit, 6-run lead. That's supposed to be the margin. I don't know why Don Mattingly. I don't know if he was just if he was feeling loose, if he was got a nice pump in at the gym and he was feeling himself a little bit yesterday. But he swaggered in there yesterday. He goes, 3 runs. Let's throw him out there.
Have you noticed? Oh, that could be why somebody said that's probably why Donnie brought him back in, because he went 3-for-3, 3 up, 3 down in his last outing.
I don't care.
Okay,
listen, I don't care.
Understand this. What has been the problem with the pitching staff? Getting a little tired.
Yep.
They look like they're wearing down a little bit. You got an arm. But you have to do it.
He's so bad.
You have to do it, man.
He's so bad.
Would you rather throw him to the Wolves or your young up-and-coming pitchers?
Young.
No,
just
man.
Just anyone.
Their arms are...
Go find me some...
They haven't pitched this much. You got to be... Come on, man.
Leroy, there's got to be some... lifetime minor leaguer. There's got to be a John Birdie that's a pitcher somewhere in the Marlins system. Guy who's like,
you think?
29 years old, has never gotten a crack. Let him get a crack at the majors, No more Wei and Chen.
You got 20 million invested
no,
in it.
No, we don't. We've lost. The investment is over. There's no such thing as an investment. When you blew, we have an investment in this building. The roof don't work. The roof don't work. He is a broken roof. You throw him out there and disaster is going to strike. If you put him out there in a meaningful situation and you can come out here and say, oh, well, you know, Tobin, he's gone out there in his last couple of performances and he's been three up, three down. What you're doing is it's like trusting a time bomb, because eventually he's going to go out there with a big meatball parm sub and it's going to be Meatball City. And that's what it is. It's inevitable. It's inevitable as the sun rising and setting. Wei and Chen being a disaster.
Tobin?
Leroy, you can't.
All your
it
pitchers
can't happen anymore.
You got a bunch of pitchers on your staff that are young and have promise, and they haven't pitched this much before. So what do you do?
This is what I would say. You're fresh off a weekend, right?
Right.
You had this beautiful speech by Martin Prado where he's talking about this is how baseball's supposed to be.
Sure.
Big crowd. Big wins.
It was awesome.
Playing with pressure. Putting Wei and Chen on the mound is basically telling your guys, hey boys, you got no shot in this one.
No.
We got no shot.
They know too, though, man. They know their arms are tired.
They got to go with somebody else.
You know what they're saying? I'm going to tell you from personal experience, right? You know a guy isn't that good. But it gets to a point in camp during the season when you're practicing every day, and it gets to a point and you go, hey, can he do that? Like, man, my legs are woozy. I need a day. Can he just do this for this day so I can get my legs back? I mean, those pitchers, man, they're young. They haven't pitched this much.
I can't.
I understand that. But you can't risk the future of those young arms.
Is that vested option kicking in next year, Robbie, or there's no shot?
No, the vested option kicks in the following year, but he has to pitch a certain amount. He has to get to like 180 innings next year.
So he's under contract next year?
Well, yeah, next year he's on the books for $22 million next year. It's the year after we get away.
Wait. Now we're throwing up double deuces. Like it's going up.
I thought this was it.
No, one more year.
I thought the option was this year. They can't, man. He's so bad. This is supposed to matter.
7 ERA.
This is supposed to matter. You were supposed to teach these young guys something about winning. And you're throwing a guy out there. You got no chance. Every time he takes the mound, you're basically taking your pants down and whizzing on the game. No shot. No shot. Dude's wearing his salary on his back this year, mocking all of us. He goes out there. He goes, you don't need a translator for this one, mother bleepers. Guess why I'm wearing number 20? Because that's what I'm getting. Every 2 weeks, it's going to just pile up fat stacks of cash just rolling in there. Oh, you don't like it, Mattingly? Let me slap you in the face with a couple hundreds.
Come on, man.
He's got to change his number to 22
like,
next year.
I get it. I get it. I get it. But big picture, right? Big picture, you have a lot of young arms, and that's your future. Wei and Chen is not your future. So I'm surprised they haven't been putting him out there all the time. But
well, they're doing like 7 blowouts. That's when he comes
right,
in the game.
Right.
I just don't understand it.
Can we say this?
How could you run an organization? You would be pitching your young guys. You would run them into the ground.
Leroy,
then what? You suck for the next 5 years.
No. But listen to me. That's why I'm saying, go get somebody who has no future with your team. I don't care. You want to throw out, but not him anymore.
He doesn't have a future with the team.
He does next year. $22 million. Just walking around. He's probably got some glass mansion down in Coral Gables.
Somebody said, what are they staying fresh for the playoffs? Oh, man. Young pitchers, like most young pitchers, if you look throughout baseball, they're on a pitch count because they're not used to pitching this much in a season. That's basically what the minors are for. To build you up. When you look at all these aces that are on teams now, mm-hmm. when they first got into the majors, they were on a pitch count. They all were.
There's got to be some guy pitching for the Jumbo Shrimp
who's like 35 years old, just hanging out. Because in the minors, they're not all studs. Dude, they got Tim Tebow in the minors. He hits like 140. There's got to be somebody in the minor leagues that's just got no future. But you just throw him out there, bring up a body.
But you paying this guy $20 million.
But he's so bad, and he got no shot. And you're just teaching your kids, hey, guys, guess what? You know all that stuff we said about winning this week and Martin Prado and that meaning something? Guess what? It's wiped away. Means nothing, because here's Chen.
I mean, look, I understand what everybody's saying. Like, I understand that you don't want a guy out there, as soon as he goes in the game, you feel you have no chance.
But I've watched more Marlins baseball this year than I have in a long time. I've been very invested in this team.
Right,
okay?
Of course.
Yesterday I watched it, and it just, I saw that lead go, I saw that deficit just grow and grow and grow. And I just said to myself, I can't watch him pitch for my team anymore. I can't do it. Not like it's heartbreaking to me. We're back after this.
Estamos en vivo. Sube, sube, sube el mic, mic.
Guys, Dolphin preseason is underway, and 7Eye the Ticket will have your daily Fins camp reports with the latest news and information. Preseason reports on the Ticket are sponsored by Lexus of Pembroke Pines, always an amazing deal. We appreciate everybody who's listening to us on the stream right now. From what I understand, our signal is not working. I do appreciate it. We are still getting a lot of texters, so I do appreciate people tuning in and letting us know. I see that Mike Ryan is gleefully swaggering right now on social media because our signal doesn't work. Mike should be happy, man. Now it's on a complete even playing field. It's just a race to get podcasts out. as he was happy for us, but he threatened to destroy us. So he should be thrilled. But what can you do, man? Like, honestly, at this point, all I can do is sit back and laugh, because it's just been just absolute disaster after disaster. So, you know, it's like when anything works here, it feels like house money these days. And when they, you know, like I said, if I get shown a ratings book by anybody in this building, I will laugh in your face. I'm like, real? Oh, okay. The signal that doesn't work, especially in the mornings, when apparently, you know, we've gone to the days. It's like we're Smallfoot. You ever see the movie Smallfoot, Leroy?
Yes.
It's like we need the gong raiser.
I'm surprised you watched that.
I gotta say,
LeBron's in it.
I told you I'm not Team Petty anymore. I gave LeBron props yesterday, by the way. I told you I did. You were there. I gave him props. I said I've been very impressed how scared people are of his power. I'm very impressed by it. This is 2 weeks in a row where he's had David Griffin wetting his pants and then the entire NCAA. It's been very impressive. But no, he was good in Smallfoot.
You know what's amazing about...
He was better than Channing Tatum was.
You know what's amazing with LeBron? That you could say whatever you want, but when you start every conversation with him about how he is off the court and how he handles himself, you may not agree with it, you may not like it, but he has handled himself with class.
It's crazy.
Right.
Nothing. In today's day and age, to have no scandal.
Right.
How's that possible?
I mean, even Jordan had scandal.
Of course.
Right.
What is it? What is an athlete that has come, like, Griffey? Like, is that the only one? You became a star at 18.
King Griffey, yeah.
At 18. Well,
and his only knock was he never really stayed in that great shape.
Yeah. But yeah, but he had the best swing.
Oh my god!
I mean, the best swing.
It was so smooth. I mean, even Brady. Like, I don't even count the Deflategate stuff, but he's got, you know, a kid with a different with Michelle Monaghan, right? Is it Michelle?
That is not Michelle, but it's Bridget Monaghan.
Bridget Monaghan. Sorry.
Oh, you're talking about with the the Brady thing.
Yeah, and he left her while, you know. So
yeah,
I mean that's the. And who knows about TB12, but there's really no scandal around him other than
Deflategate,
which is a joke. Like, stop.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, like, can we think of, like...
But even Tom Brady's, like...
No, you know who? Peyton Manning. Well, he had that thing with the
that was set to his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, the HGH stuff.
Right.
And then there was the stuff that came out a little bit later with the I guess he was
In Tennessee.
In Tennessee, yeah.
Right.
With the trainer.
Oh yeah, the Mooney.
How about Aaron Rodgers?
Not really. The only thing that's been to Aaron Rodgers is apparently he had some huge public beef with his family.
Yeah, was Olivia Munn?
He's getting a little bit of a reputation of a coach killer because like this LaFleur stuff is already it's already like they've seemed to disagree on, you know, his ability, because I guess LaFleur doesn't have a lot of audibles in his incomplete system, and Aaron Rodgers is like, well, I'm one of the best in the league at that. Why would you not utilize that option? And so it's like, oh, you're going to kind of bully the young coach as soon as he gets right there immediately.
I would say this, that a lot of quarterbacks like that just to have the flexibility to be able to get the team in the right position. Where some coaches try to design plays where that's not necessary.
Yeah, I got you.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So according to certain situations and things like that.
But that's one of those things, too, where it's like, I saw like Aaron Rodgers defending. He's like, oh, this is just media fodder and for clickbait. But when you do have what you just had with Mike McCarthy, you can understand why people jump to those conclusions.
Like, it seemed like Mike McCarthy was low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Because, like, what did he do? Like, it's like Andy Reid. If a quarterback were to get Andy Reid fired, that guy has been class from the day he became a coach in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't. Like, Andy Reid, Mike McCarthy, there's a couple of coaches that have just been good at their job for whatever reason. They don't ever get caught up in all the nonsense.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It's kind of like, in a way with LeBron, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the idea of, like, people always say LeBron never got a great coach, even though I think everybody down here believes his coaching that he got under Spoelstra was probably the best that he got in his career.
Right.
But it's kind of like, well, I don't have Popovich, so, like, I never got a great coach. And so with Aaron Rodgers, is it one of those things where it's like, well, I don't have Belichick, so like who can match me wit for wit
as far as
what matches my talent.
It's easy to say that when you're on the outside looking in, but I promise you don't know what's going on in that organization. But because they're winning, and the one constant is the coach.
Yeah,
you know, some have had the argument that if Tom Brady wasn't there, Brady was getting ready to get fired.
Well, that's
so.
Why,
then how that, do you?
That's why I think Brady probably looks in and he goes, you know, because I would look at what Green Bay's had in their situation and be like, well, who are the best players he's had? You know, understanding like why he hasn't had maybe more success, and you think it's a Mike McCarthy thing, but is it a front office thing? Like, who are the guys he's really getting a setting about leaving? Jordy Nelson? Like, they weren't able to replace him over this entire haul?
It'd be different, and you kind of don't have an argument when the guy's not even in the league anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
So,
and Belichick will find that under a rock anywhere. I mean, not a deep threat white guy, but I mean, he'll.
What are you doing there?
You know what I'm doing. You know exactly,
like,
what I'm
wait
doing.
Wait a minute. That sounds like something I would say.
What? It's true.
Has Jordy Nelson been the most recent
Deep threat white guy?
Yeah.
Thielen?
Oh, yeah, he's a beast. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thielen's pretty damn good right now.
Yep.
I mean, Hartline wasn't really a slot guy, but I mean, he wasn't fast. But.
No, he had speed. He ran routes like a big guy, but he could actually run. So I won't say. He had some speed. It's just sometimes in football, it's hard to tell if somebody has speed based on what they do. And that's why when you go to the combine, you have to be able to take those tests and put them in what you want that guy to do. Except for Ted Ginn, because everybody wanted him to run fast except the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins were upset that he wasn't physical enough.
Right.
You know? Man. All right, we roll on here. We'll get into hour number two of the show. Ira Windeman's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Hopefully, you'll be able to hear him. We'll be back right after this.